I think Ken gave a very good introduction to my talk. Actually, I'm going to take over from him and extend his model further for showing some applications in irrigation, or specifically to limited water irrigation management. I'll be using this at series simulation model. I'm here, my name is Sasin Ray. I work for Agriculture System Research Unit. Our collaborators belong to Central Great Plains System Research, Akron, Water Management Research at Fort Collins and Colorado State University. The basic experiments for this study are conducted at Central Great Plains Research Station, Akron, that's in the Northern Plains area. We have semi-arid climate here with rainfall around 42 centimeters in a year, with the ET demand exceeding 100 centimeters. This were the location of the study with the experimental plots. This is the county map of Colorado. This is where the experimental plots are located. We have silt-loam soil here, and going to Yuma County, adjacent to it, has sandy loam. Then coming to where Agriculture System Research is located, we have non-clay loam soil. So the question is, the experiments conducted in the Washington County at CGPRS, are they applicable or transferable to other locations, which has different soils and climates? Whether a crop model, which is calibrated and validated, can be of any help to in doing this, other than just guessing. This is the type of climate we are dealing with. It's a semi-arid, it's typical semi-arid condition. Rainfall ranging between about 500 and about 100. Average is around 280 millimeter. So bottom line here is corn cultivation in this area is not profitable unless some irrigation is, you know, to supplement the water supply. So the objectives of my study was to show the value of using a cropping system simulation model once calibrated and validated for evaluating limited irrigation scenarios and developing strategies that has, you know, that has the potential to optimize water efficiency by minimizing application water application amount and time. Second objective was to extend the result to other soils and climates. A little bit background to this study. We have short-term experiments. Most of our experiments, not only at our location, all over the world are short-term and location-specific. And most of these belong to a single soil type and weather conditions, but we all know that for solving our everyday problems, we need to extrapolate this study to other locations and climates. Is there any solution to this problem? If you look at the literature, last 100 years we are doing experiments, where we are heading to. Looking at the agriculture system models, I believe that is the only tool which can potentially integrate and synthesize the knowledge we gain from long or short-term experiments and help us extrapolate the knowledge to other soils and climates. So the methodology here, we initially calibrated and tested the series maize version 4, that's a cropping system simulation model with the DSAT, under both irrigated and dry land production conditions, and further used the model with the long-term weather data, that's around 94 years of weather data. Further, we develop strategies for applying irrigation only when it will result in maximum benefit to the crop. That, you know, as far as corn is concerned, it's basically that stage of the crop growth stage falls in the reproductive stage. And we tested strategies like splitting irrigation between these two stages at 20-80, 40-60 and 50-50. Then the second strategy was to increase water efficiency by withholding irrigation till a particular plant available water threshold is reached in the soil to save water. You tried different strategies starting from 10 to 100% of plant available water. Then third one was to conduct the same experiments in different soils. And this idea of this slide is to show that the model we used has gone through very rigorous calibration and testing. Irrigation experiments conducted 84 to 87 is a wide range of water available in these treatments. Then we, you know, once it's calibrated, tested for the irrigation experiment, we tested the model further with rain-fed situations. In irrigation experiments, basically the nitrogen was around 168 kg per hectare. Coming to the rain-fed experiments, the nitrogen application level varied between 34 and 95 kg per hectare. So indirectly, the model is tested for its robustness for nutrient dynamics and simulation too. Give an example of how good the model is in predicting grain yield. You can see that only one data point I use for calibration that actually belongs to the highest water application level in the study. Then other points are the testing. So from my experience, I can say that the model has very good simulation potential and prediction ability. Biomass, this is an example of the biomass simulation. It did fairly good in the predicting the time course of biomass simulation. Coming to one of the limited water irrigation strategy. The first one is applying split dose of irrigation between the two stages. You can see the grain yield response to irrigation here, irrigation different amounts and the grain yield. With the different split irrigation, the yield response increase, you can see up to 30 to 40 or 400 millimeter. Then further, the response is falling down. but with the 2080, it's slightly continued. We are trying to find out actually what's happening with the falling, the decline in the yield. So what we see that it's an interaction with the nitrogen. So with increase in irrigation, the nitrogen leads down beyond the root zone is affecting the yield. this is the water efficiency for the split irrigation. It's for the silt loam soil. The water efficiency kind of followed the yield response. It's peaking at around 300 millimeter, then it's falling down. You can see that 2080 split gives the best water efficiency for all irrigation levels. So looking at the nitrogen balance, you can see that at the 2080, this is the leaching loss. The leaching loss increases with the split application, increasing the level in the vegetative stage. So you can see that it's further increasing. Then coming to comparison between the three soils, taking a look at the water balance. So since 28 is split, gave a better option for split irrigation. I'm showing the results for that here. You can see that PUT is not varying highly between the soils. Coming to deep percolation loss, the sandy loam soil here, that the percolation loss is more than the other two soils, silt loam and clay loam. Then runoff, you can see that there is a considerable amount of runoff for the clay loam, then coming down to silt and sandy. Looking at the nitrogen balance, the three soils, sandy loam has highest leaching loss that's expected, then less is the silt and clay. Then one interesting thing we noticed is the mineralization. We see more mineralization in sandy loam and less clay than silt. Silt is the lowest. But you see that this is basically due to the interaction between soil temperature, soil water, and available carbon. Then uptake is with the mineralization, the uptake in sandy loam is seen to be highest than following the silt and clay. Excuse me. differential irrigation between the two stages. This is the grain yield here. You see that silt and sandy, these two, give more or less similar response as far as grain yield is concerned. Then lowest is clay loam. Then looking at water use efficiency, water use efficiency is low for clay, then other two soils is more or less similar. Late initiation of irrigation, that withholding irrigation till a particular threshold is reached in the plant available water in the soil. These are the irrigation trigger thresholds, that's percentage available water. You can say 10, 20, 30, the kind of for all soils, the yield response is peaking around 30%, 30 to 40%. All the three soils, the irrigation response is reaching a maximum. Coming to or looking at the yield probability for the three soils, for clay loam, you can see that there is yield advantage in going up to 10, 20, 30, up to 40% of plant available water. This is the plant available water in the soil to trigger irrigation. So looking at silt loam, it's only up to 20%. Then sandy, 20, 30, it's going up to 30%. why this is falling in between, I mean, we are not able to figure out clearly. It's can be an interaction between the runoff produced by the model. You know, it's basically the curve number method used, and there's a lot of complication between producing the exact runoff and infiltration. Okay. Trying to summarize, this is the sandy loam soil. Looking at the split irrigation, 20-80 split gives the best option. For silt loam, for irrigation irrigation amounts less than 100, 40, 60, 50, 50, but for irrigation above 100, 20-80 is still better, similar to this. But looking at clay loam, for irrigations above 300, it's 20-80, but 300, 600, 50-50, and irrigations above 600, it's 20-80. Then threshold at which to trigger irrigation, it's 30% for sandy, 20% for silt, and 40% for clay. So we'd like to make some conclusions based on our experience, though it's not actually backed with experimental data. Crop simulations models in general have high potential, especially these DSAT models have high potential for optimizing limited irrigation. But there is a need for site-specific simulations to define specific agriculture recommendations, that's for the particular site or soil or climate. And there's a need for collecting balanced set of data about the crop, soil, weather, with which the model can be tested and improved and further used. Need for integrating models with field research. That's very important. So this is our vision. We need experiments, cutting edge research, and at the same time, the process-oriented models. Then this should go together, and the research models sometimes cannot be understood by the users, so there should be decision support systems based on these results.
Thank you.